You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. Want to mention, though, the number 11. There's a reason for that. 11 is the number of Christians killed every hour, every day, every year, and that during just the time span of 2000 to 2010. But if you just take that decade, you already have 100,000 lives. And while a tragedy of unimaginable proportions, the problem with statistics is that they never tell the whole story. With clinical abstract precision, they mask the unspeakable suffering and horror of our brothers and sisters with, well, just plain cold numbers. They fail to even remotely approach the reality of bombings of churches in Baghdad by Islamic militants, or the slaughter of Christians in India's northeastern state of Orissa, where as many as 500 Christians were killed, many hacked to death with machetes by Hindu radicals. And other than those who have personally survived such horrors, who can really begin to imagine the suffering of the 200,000 to 400,000 Christians believed to be living in forced labor camps in North Korea? And while the list of atrocities could sadly go on endlessly, those of us in the West should be alert to two very dangerous realities that go largely unrecognized by most Americans. The first is this chilling global war on Christians. But the second is a war on religion, which is characterized by increasing secular hostility to religion generally and to Christians in particular. It's time for all of us to wake up. Well, maybe not just wake up, but wake up, stand up, and speak up. For those sufficiently attentive, the danger signals of soft persecution in the West should alert us to hard persecution now being suffered by millions of Christians around the globe, and quite possibly, or should I say most certainly, headed our way. To those who adamantly deny that such persecution could ever happen in the West, I would kindly extend an invitation to consult the instructive realities of history. Just a blink in time ago, with the American audience watching Leave It to Beaver, firmly convinced that marijuana was the devil's weed, have taken you seriously if you said that in a matter of years, it would be legalized for recreational use in a growing number of states. Would those watching Osiet and Harriet have taken you seriously if you told them that the Supreme Court would one day legalize same-sex marriage? Well, reality, of course, is full of surprises, and history isn't always merciful, which is why we must wake up, stand up, and speak up. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. memorably put it, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of Christians. Poignantly and hauntingly, he also realized that in the end, we will not remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is David. He's listening in Fresno, California. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Oh, I had a question in regarding, there's a passage in the Bible, I believe it's in Matthew 20. And so there was two, I was listening the other day to two individuals. I was at a barbershop, and they were talking about that passage. And then the one that was not partial towards the Bible, he was saying that how God was not fair, how I guess how the other group of people, how they got paid the same amount of money. And I guess they came at a later time in the day. And he was trying to say, well, how is God fair? The guy that was not partial towards the Bible, and he was saying that. And then, you know, the guy that was partial towards the Bible, you know, he was coming back and he had some, you know, some good points and stuff. But I was just wondering what your thought was on that.
Well, I would say a couple of things about that. Number one, Jesus in the parable is talking about a landowner who made a deal with the early comers to harvest crops, and he made that, they agreed to that, and he gave them exactly what they agreed to. And then when people came after the heat of the day and there was still work to be done, he paid them the same amount, but he had the right to do what he did, which is an expression of grace. This is the beauty of the parable. This is God's grace, which God graciously extends to those who are early in the process of coming to the vineyard and those who are late in that process. Those who come early should not be proud of their long service, nor resent those who came later on or came at the 11th hour, as I think the text says. To the latecomers, Jesus says that it is possible even in a short time or at the end of one's life to recover and inherit everything. And I think this is beautiful. I'll tell you, I read this very passage myself, and there's a reason I did. I've just experienced the death of a loved one. And that loved one had some tough patches in his life. But he finished well. And I, just as a person, was so moved and overwhelmed by how well he finished. I wasn't thinking about the rough patches at that time. I was thinking about you finished well, a great testimony to your family and to your friends, and ultimately a testimony of the grace of God. And I think in many ways, it could have been meant as a warning, this parable, meant as a warning to the disciples themselves. Because in the verses prior, Christ had responded to Peter's question, "We have left everything to follow you. What will there be in it for us?" Well, Jesus concludes with, "Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Because we judge by certain standards, God judges by other standards, which is to say that God sees all the intents of our heart, and he measures things not just in length of service, but he sees the heart of service. So I think this is a poignant and profound parable that underscores the very grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's one of the most beautiful parables in the Scriptures. Those who work all day should not be envious of those who work a fraction of the time, because they do not understand, those who work through the long day, the concept of grace. They got what they bargained for. They got justice, yet they accused the landowner of injustice. Those who do not understand grace and condemn the grace giver will not inherit the kingdom. For those who condemn grace, no grace will be given. So I think there's a warning implicit in all of this as well. I remember years ago reading R.C. Lenski, who was a very good Lutheran commentator, saying that the pearls of grace are never thrown before the wicked, self-righteous swine. And I think that's true. I mean, these are pearls of grace that are extended, and people instead want to look at it as unfairness. If we got justice, we'd be in trouble. The beautiful thing about our God is He is the perfect blend of justice and mercy.
That's good stuff, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. I want to remind you as we go to break that if you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check that out at equip.org/donate. And we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. Harrion next, listening in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Harrion.
Actually, it's Harlan.
Harlan, sorry. You know, that's exactly what it says on the screen. I just read it wrong.
Did Jesus exist in heaven before he came to earth? And who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden? Is that a complicated question, or am I being misled about something?
No, I think it's a right question to ask. I mean, it's certainly true, based on Scripture, that Jesus has always existed. Yeah, you look at Colossians chapter 1, you see that he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So what we read in Colossians there, and we can see this as well in John chapter 1, we read that Jesus has always existed. There was never a time that Jesus was not. Now, the Bible teaches that there are three persons in the Godhead. In other words, within the one God, there are three centers of consciousness. And you have to think about this critically, because were that not so, independent of the universe, there would be no such thing as love, because love always requires an object of love. So if there was not a triad, as it were, within the Godhead, God would have been morally defective, because he would not have had the attribute of love. So the beautiful thing about the Trinity is that it expresses a God of love, not a morally defective Unitarian God, from the very beginning. So always Jesus existed. Always there was one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Now, God manifests himself to people. When you think about what happened with Abraham, God and two angels met him on the plains of Mamre. Now, God took on form for his own purposes, as did the angels. That's called a theophany and an angelophany. However, we can't assume that God has form. And we also have to realize that there are in Scripture what are called anthropomorphisms. Now, simply put, that means God communicating in the way that humans can attain to or understand. So the Bible uses language that's a heavenly condescension to our own inadequacies. So in places, the Bible says God walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. We shouldn't suppose that that means that God has big feet. It really is a way of speaking that God was with Adam and Eve in intimacy and closeness. So it's, again, called an anthropomorphism. We don't want to read it in a wooden literalistic sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that when Jesus was in Gethsemane, he was praying to the Father. He was still, before his crucifixion, he was praying to his Father.
That's correct.
So he has a Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He knew he was going to suffer an agonizing death on the cross. So that means that Jesus Christ has a Father, conceived the Holy Spirit through Mary. Am I wrong in that?
Well, we take terms and sometimes we make them univocal as opposed to equivocal. In other words, the meaning we pour into words is what is really important. Father can be used in a lot of different ways, just as God can be used in a lot of different ways. Satan is called God in the Bible. He's called the God of this world. People are called gods, representatives of God to the people. So God can be used in different ways, and certainly Father can be used in different ways. The idea of Father and Son does not suggest sexual procreation, but special relationship. Now, Jesus in the incarnation takes on another nature, so he's one person with two natures. I cannot explain all of that to you simply because I don't comprehend it myself. I apprehend it, I don't comprehend it. The simplest religions are the made-up religions, but God is not simple, he is complex, he's beyond our ken. You never have a contradiction, but you do have things that surpass our ability to fully comprehend. But the idea of the Son praying to the Father or the Father sending the Spirit is not a matter of complication. It is simply a matter of communicating that the one God has three centers of consciousness that are in communion and relationship one with another. And the beautiful part of the biblical text is that they are not alone. We have been brought into life in the Trinity. So we ourselves are in this love relationship where we communicate with God and God communicates with us. So complex, yes. Contradictory, no. We will spend an eternity seeking to fully grasp the love and the grace and the goodness of the one who saved us. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Susan. She's listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Hank. I'm sorry I'm not one of the cheery ones today, but I'm one of the Christians who's been experiencing soft persecution, or I guess it feels pretty much like an attack at my work. I'm an educator in a higher level of education, a professor. I'm a conservative Christian, and what you're telling people is absolutely true. I am always kind to people, no matter if they're a homosexual, or I have a colleague who has a transsexual daughter. I'm always kind to people, but they have just made my life so hell. And with the cooperation of my employer, I'm being forced out after being a professor for 10 years.
Mm.
And wow. I have listened to your show daily, and it has sustained me. I got to thank you for that. But I just wanted to ask you, I mean, I'm in it. How do I sustain myself through it? I pray all the time. I do. I feel pretty lost, Hank.
Yeah. Well, let me just quote something, and this is not to be trite about your circumstance, but maybe it will be helpful, because you think of a guy like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's often called the Prince of Preachers. And he died at 57, had a very difficult life, even though he's history's most well-read preacher. So you think about that. When he was alive, he had gout, but he was also persecuted by fellow pastors because of his success. And so he had a lot of difficult times, and eventually, as I said, died at a fairly young age. And he had a quote, and I don't know if I've got it completely memorized, but it goes something like this: "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there, and my sermons with me. The result of melting is that you're poured out into new and better fashion." And I think that ultimately, Susan, is the hope. You've gone through persecution, but that fire of persecution is going to pour you out in new and better fashion. And that's why we're told in Scripture, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. We're also told, blessed, and this is Jesus speaking, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So what am I saying in all of that, Susan? I'm saying that you have to honestly, in these difficult times, take the long view, which is set your sights on eternal verities rather than mean earthly vanities. Life is a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Now, look, that's easy to say when you're not in the cauldron of persecution. It's much harder to say when you're in the midst of persecution. But there are so many Christian icons that have gone before us. who have faced persecution, their eyes set on the prize. So there's a couple of things I would say. You're going through that cauldron, that storm. It's difficult, but God has a purpose in it, which is to say we can quote the oft-repeated words of Paul, all things, even this persecution, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. So now you have paid a price for your love and also for your life and for being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You have paid a price. God is not going to leave you orphaned. He has closed a door to open another door. So the best is yet to come.
Thank you so much, Hank. Thank you so much. Those words are going to sustain me. I really, really appreciate it. And I really hope everyone listening knows to speak up, because it's real what you're talking about, and it's ugly. And just thank you so much again. I appreciate it.
Bless you, Susan. It was an honor to talk to you. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, we're so appreciative of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.